It's 105 on the John Phillips Show, Talk Radio 790 KABC, broadcasting live from the nation's capital, Washington, D.C., on top of a building across the street from the Capitol. And how many sirens are we at now, Randy?
We have had six in the last hour. It's been quiet for a little while, but I think you're about to get to rush hour traffic, so something dangerous is about to happen in D.C.
Six sirens in the last hour, and we're not even near a nursing home in Andrew Cuomo's New York. We're live from the Federation of American Immigration Reform's 14th annual Hold Their Feet to the Fire Radio Row. Randy, you're in Culver City.
That's right. And even though you're in D.C., you got to remember, John, it is still Woo Wednesday.
It's Woo Wednesday. Yeah, baby. Woo.
This despite UTLA once again proclaiming that it's not Woo Wednesday, it's Woke Wednesday, where you're supposed to wear apparel that recognizes oppressed communities. They put that tweet out again, just as the LAUSD announced that they've got a 27,000 student enrollment problem, down 6%, and the teachers got a raise anyway.
All right, let's go ahead and get to our next guest. They are the authors of Uprising: Who the Hell Said You Can't Ditch and Switch? The Awakening of Diamond and Silk. Diamond and Silk, welcome.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you for having us.
All right, let's start by talking about the drama that happened in the bar at the hotel last night.
What drama? What drama?
I heard Shorty was down there.
That's what we heard, but we don't know.
Well, I was there, but I was drinking iced tea.
Okay. Oh, well, you know, God. We stay up in our rooms. We don't go down and mingle or anything like that. Uh-huh. But I had heard that somebody was at that particular hotel. I don't know how true it is. I'm not going to put out no gossip, because it's gossip. But if you want me to tell you what they said.
Yeah,
somebody
absolutely.
Was just sort of gossiping and saying that Flip Flop Falsy was at the hotel that we all are staying at.
Yeah.
And I was like shocked. Like, really? Why that hotel? I don't know what's going on, but I heard that he was there.
That's
but
what
I don't
we
know.
Had heard.
But I don't know. I didn't see it for myself.
Now. Allegedly.
Allegedly, yeah. Alleged on everything.
Allegedly.
Yes.
See, you stay out of the bars for a good reason. You may have encountered him.
That's right. And I don't want to listen to me, you all. When I look at what's happening in our country and what don't have to be, I just get infuriated because, listen, we are America.
Right.
And we cannot allow these people to collapse the constructs of our country.
Right.
All we know is freedom. We don't know all of this other stuff that they're trying to usher in. We understand that these people are radical, but go to an island and be radical on there. Don't bring that mess over here to the United States of America.
And what a wonderful opportunity it would be for Diamond and Silk to meet Dr. Flip Flop Falsy.
It would be wonderful.
Have the opportunity
because I have
to sit down
a lot of
conversation
to ask them. You see what I'm talking about? Because as the top scientist,
that's my first
do you
question.
Know the difference between a vaccine and your immunity?
Yeah.
Like, if you can't break that down,
right.
How are you the top scientist? And I want to know, can we get a third opinion? Not a second one, but a third opinion.
That's right.
On this here, because something is out of order here.
Yeah. Now, here's the question. If he was behind you in line at the bar, do you think he'd be wearing the mask?
No.
Haunty, but if I saw him without that mask on, you know I'd be having something.
Oh, yeah.
Look at old Flip Flop Falsy. How you doing? Uh-huh. We've been wanting to meet you for a long time.
Yes. We would sit down and have a great conversation.
Yeah, because
we have
I need
questions.
To know what's going on and why is the left-wing media giving him a pass.
Yeah.
On some things that he has flip-flopped on everything.
Mm-hmm.
He is the one that put out misinformation, and then he have the whole country in an uproar. You have some in fear.
Yeah.
You have some that's scared to ask questions. You have some that don't know what to think. What did he think that how are we supposed to
and
act?
Then I would ask, how did you manage to use American tax dollars to continue to investigate or create a virus at the Wuhan land whenever it was stopped over here in America? In Chapel Hill, a moratorium was put on that and stopped here in America.
Mm-hmm.
But they use America tax dollars to keep on creating this thing.
Right.
And here's another question I will ask him. How is it a virus when it was created in a lab, not through natural occurrence?
Ooh, that's a big question.
That's a big question.
For him,
for a little man.
That's a big question.
See, I think he'd be wearing the mask because if I were Fauci, I wouldn't want to show my face in public.
He shouldn't want to show up because I'm telling you, people are really disturbed by him and some of the things that he said. And some of the things he's sitting up acting like he don't know. Listen, I understand we're in the midst of a pandemic. This is a virus. This is no joke, you all. This virus is very real. But why aren't you pushing things about immunity and how you can be healthy and to stay healthy? The first start of this virus, remember they were saying keep your hands washed. None, all that goes out the window. Now all they're telling you is go take a vaccine.
Oh, here's another question I will ask him. Do you have any patent with your name on it as it pertains to the antidote to this particular virus that was created in the lab that you helped fund with American tax dollars?
That's a good question. That's a good question for him.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about some other drama as it relates to immigration.
Okay.
Because today, former President Obama came out and threw some shade on Joe Biden and said, it doesn't matter how much you want to, you can't exist with open borders.
Did he say that?
He said that. You cannot have open borders, he said.
I believe he's trying to save his base. Okay, so then one thing about the Democrats. See, they'll sit here and let you take one for the team. You go ahead on and you push this, and I'm going to follow up with this here to make it look like we are against you. Because, see, Biden is going down. He's going down in the ratings. So somebody got to try to come and save the day, and they use the black person, as they usually always do. It's Barack Obama.
And it was Kamala Harris who was put in charge of the border by President Biden.
Bizarre.
And that has blown up in her face.
Let me tell you what went down.
What happened?
Okay, so what they want to do is they always want to leave the black person's left holding the bag.
Black Lives Matter. It's always like that. Stuff.
I'm trying to, look, it may seem funny, but really, technically, that's how it always is.
Yeah.
You have Jim Crow, Joe Biden that done during to destroy America. But they got Kamala Harris. They want to say she's black, but she's not black.
She's you can't be black when it's convenient.
Right.
She's I'm black, black all day, every day. You can't be black, when it's convenient for you to be black, okay?
Right.
So I didn't buy into that neither.
But they want to leave her left holding the bag. But still, the thing is, as an American citizen, if you are for Americans, there's no way you would want that border open for the invasion that's going on. Mm-hmm. She took an oath, and that squatter and thief took an oath to not allow these states to be invaded. And when it comes down to that border, they are breaking our laws. Title 8, Code 1324 said it is illegal to aid and abet an alien, not a migrant, but an alien. So with them even calling it a migrant, that's illegal. Mm. And they're aiding and baiting them by using our tax dollars, okay, to fly these people into all of these different communities. Yeah. Now one of them have to have a vaccine. Now one of them have to show no papers. Now one of them have to get no jab. We don't know if they've been tested. None of them don't have to get tested. But then the American people, you want us to get all of this different stuff. You want to restrict the American people for something that came from China. So I am really disgusted by this. And how is it that they're able to break our immigration laws?
Right.
So there are two schools of thought in my mind as to why he gave the border to Kamala. One is she comes from a border state. She comes from law enforcement. She was a district attorney and attorney general. So theoretically, she would be a voice that people would listen to on the subject.
They didn't listen to her when she was running in a primary. So why would they didn't even vote for her. So why would they listen to her?
Well, here's option B.
Okay, what's B?
Sloppy Joe is vulnerable right now because his poll numbers are bad and people are understanding that he's incapable of performing the duties of the office.
Well, she is too.
The biggest threat to him in the Democratic primary is Kamala. But if he muddies up her name by giving her the border, she can't run against him.
How was she a threat to him? She couldn't even win anything. She didn't even win her own state from what I heard.
And he never ran for nothing. He stayed stuck in a basement.
But you all got to understand, they like to create all of this drama so that they can go in and act like saveahobo.com and act like they're going to fix it.
That's right.
Okay, that's all that they're trying
to
do.
All of this stuff is manufacturing
crisis so that they can go in. See, we saved the day. See how you ain't saved today, what you're doing is you're destroying America.
That's right.
Did you see Kamala on The View on Friday?
I didn't see Kamala, but I surely heard about all of a sudden the ruckus about two of them had COVID, and then after all of that was over, it was a false positive.
That's
right. Well, how is it that they can have a false positive, but other people in the country can't have a false positive? Look at these people. people. Yeah. Why are we allowing them to lie to us? Mm-hmm. Are we being pranked? Are we being punked here? Yeah. What's happening here? This
and whenever you find yourself, when you comply with the lie, then you complicit with whatever's going
on. That's right.
And they continue to move the goalposts. First, it was 15 days to slow the spread, to stop the spread. That turned into 30 days. And then now it's been a year and a half, and you got the top scientist that's been a scientist for over 30-some years. Don't even know the antidote to it. Yeah, right. Mm. I bet you he knows exactly what's going on. But just look at how they continue to do it. Then it was no mask, mask, then take off the mask. Well, if you get the jab, all right, you won't catch COVID.
That's what Biden said. Uh-huh, we got him on tape.
Uh-huh. You can take off your mask. We can go back to things as usual. We want to get at least 70% of the people to do it. They made it to 70%. No, we need to put back on your mask. Now go back in. No, we're going to shut this down. No, we're going to restrict this. Now you either get the jab or you can't eat. You get the jab or you're fired.
That's right.
We're supposed to have access to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. How can we live if we can't eat?
Well, very good point. And here's another question. Why is it that they would test all of the panelists on that show, knowing that the results wouldn't come back until the show already started?
Listen, these people are liars and they are straight hypocrites.
The setup.
It's a big setup.
Great setup.
And the American people, if you look at this here and you go along with it, you keep falling for the okie doke.
Right.
I don't fall for it.
When you comply with it.
Uh-huh, yeah.
They continue to move. They see how far can we push them.
Right.
And as long as you continue to go along with it, they will continue to push it further.
Yeah.
That's just the name of the game. It's always been the name of the game. Let me tell you something. Mandates are not law.
That's right.
It's not a law.
You can't
command me. I'm not no animal. Mm-hmm. Command a dog to sit and do all of that different stuff.
And then talking about your patience is wearing thin.
What?
Oh, I thought you took a oath. I thought you were supposed to work for Americans. Your patience can't wear thin when you work for the American people. You said they voted you in, did you?
Mm.
Well, see, that's what you get for allowing somebody to select you.
That's right.
To do something that
and
you
not
don't even
elect
know how,
you. And
that you don't even know how to do.
Mm. Now, on the subject of The View, the conservative seat is open. I'm just spitballing here.
Okay.
But how about Diamond and Silk on The View?
Oh, they will. The Han T, let me tell you.
We would love to go.
And we would be making national, worldwide news every day.
Every day, all day.
Get them all straight. Whoopi, Sunny. What's that other one named? Joy Behar.
Anna.
Yeah.
And Anna. I can't stand Anna. Because Anna had something to say about us about a week or so ago that was really derogatory.
Oh, did she?
I think we wrote something about her in our book unless they took it out.
Mm.
Yeah. Uh-huh. But yeah, she had something derogatory because they make it seem like that President Trump shouldn't have black people that support him.
Right.
You know, all of a sudden now you want to call us out our name. We truly supported this man from day one and we continue to support him because he was the greatest president that we've ever had in our lifetime. Look at what's happening now and look at what was happening back then.
Right.
Food costs was at a normal price. Gas. Listen, we was gas independent. We depended on ourselves for gas. We can make our own oil. Now look at everything. I bet you it's a lot of people wishing President Trump was back in office. I bet you it's a lot of people that's wishing it today.
Oh, I bet you there's a lot of people that would love to see you two on The View.
Oh, well, listen.
Look, let me tell you.
Come on to call us, Q.
I want them to call us.
Because ain't nobody scared of none of them,
yes.
Honey. I will get them straight.
We
every
will
day,
set them
all
free.
Day. Yes.
You think you'd get along with Whoopi and Joy?
No. I don't too much care for Whoopi. I don't care too much care for Whoopi because she's a liar. I don't too much care for Joy. I think she's too old to be on there. It's time for her to go.
Yeah.
Sunny
Hey, she's younger than Biden.
Is she? Oh, well, she still need to go.
Yeah.
Sunny Hostin, I had to get her straight because she going to say, we was on an interview with Dr. Drew, and she going to say, well, what about those ones that's trying to pull themselves up by their bootstraps? And I had to look at her and say, well, what if they ain't got no straps?
Mm-hmm.
That shut her down. She ain't never say nothing to us dumb ball. So
never
I don't too much care. And I don't
interview.
Too much care for Anna. I don't care for people that's sitting there, straight hypocrites, and they lie. All of these people have some negative to say about Donald J. Trump. Now look at our country.
Yep.
We need our president, Donald J. Trump, back.
You think if he ran again, he'd win?
Listen, they need to give it to him in 2020. You cannot tell me that 81 million people voted for this. And for God's sakes, don't lie on black people. You're always using the black folks. Come on. All these black people voted for Biden in the history of our country. No. Black people voted for Obama in the history, but not for no Jim Crow Joe Biden. A man that stood on the Senate floor and referred to them as predators. A man that wrote in a crime bill to decimate families, taking the black fathers out of the home. A man that wanted to abort babies all the way up to the birth. You know who that's going to severely impact? Black people. Mm-hmm. You think black people got out, stood in line to vote for that? Absolutely, unequivocally not.
And we know that the dead in Christ did not rise
that's
for
right.
Biden.
Not for no Biden.
No.
Didn't.
The book is Uprising, Who the Hell Said You Can't Ditch and Switch, The Awakening of Diamond and Silk, available online at Amazon.com. I wonder who's going to be at the hotel bar tonight.
I have no idea, but I will be up in my room because I ain't want to get into yeah. no mess. But if I run into him, I do have questions.
We will
you
let him know.
You're a top scientist. You should know some answers, shouldn't you? Okay, here go question
And you can
one.
Get that book at DiamondandSilkBookstore.com. You can get an autographed copy when you go to DiamondandSilkBookstore.com. And keep in mind, we're on FrankSpeaks.com.
Yes.
FrankSpeaks.com with Mike Lindell every night, Monday through Friday at 9 o'clock p.m. Central Standard Time.
Yes.
Diamond and Silk. Thank
yes.
you. So much.
Oh,
thank you for having us.
Such a pleasure to see you in person. You know, I just thought of something, Randy.
What's
you
that?
You know who's not here?
Who's not here?
Dick Morris. You know why?
Why?
If there's anything he's going to do to someone's feet, it's not going to be holding them to the fire. That's what Lewis told me. What do you say we make a couple of listeners very happy?
Let's do it. 790 KABC welcomes Lynyrd Skynyrd with Tesla to the Five Point Amphitheater this Friday. Tickets are on sale now at Ticketmaster.com, but right now, caller number 9 at 888-790-5222 gets a pair of tickets to the show and a bonus pair of tickets to the Pink Floyd exhibition, Their Mortal Remains, at the Vogue on Hollywood Boulevard. Tickets furnished by Live Nation and the Vogue. Good luck dialing.
Now, Randy, I've got to say something. You know, I follow the law. I pay my taxes. I try to be a good person. I don't ask for much. However, if there's one thing, if I was given a bottle with a genie in it, and I was given 3 wishes, I'd say, you know what? You can keep 2 of them. I only need one. And the one wish I have is that Flip-Flop Fauci were to run into Diamond and Silk at the hotel bar I'm at, and I get to see the whole thing unfold right before my eyes.
That would make your day for sure. That would make your week.
Oh, my God. I would take out that cell phone, and I would record every single minute of it like it was a fight on an airplane, too. And then I'd have that up on social media, lickety-split. Actually, no, I wouldn't do that. I just enjoy the moment. But then you could hear my rendition of it after it happened, and that's how the world could know. I was there, too. I was there with some friends, with Heidi Harris, our pal from Las Vegas. Oh, my God. Heidi could have recorded it, and I could have gotten right up there and watched it from the front row. What do you think the odds are it would have gotten violent?
I don't know if it would have gotten violent, but I believe it would have gotten very loud.
See, when I say violent, I think it would be Fauci just going through the window, Dukes of Hazzard style, just trying to get away from all that. Feet don't fail me now. That's my wish, Randy.
You know, you might want to keep another one of those wishes, because in the next hour we're doing Throwback Thursday. And you're going to be broadcasting tomorrow from this conference as well. And if our listeners aren't nice, we're going to have to play some really bizarre music tomorrow.
All right. So here's the deal. Lucky caller number 9 will be able to pick the bumper music tomorrow, as we do every Throwback Thursday. Now, you're listening in your car or at home. You're not here. I am physically on a roof of a building overlooking the Capitol, and I'm sitting across the table from whoever it is that's on the show. So if you pick something completely ridiculous, they're not going to know the context, and they're going to think I'm a freak.
They're going to think we are KRON, the Linda Ronstadt station.
Absolutely. So if you win today, have a little sympathy. Do me a solid, and don't pick anything insane.
That'll be in the 2 o'clock hour. Remember, if you have a ridiculous idea for Throwback Thursday, please don't call.
It sounds like you're encouraging them, Randy.
No, I am saying don't do that. That would not be very nice, especially because I won't even be here to enjoy it because I'm out tomorrow.
Great. You're leaving me here by myself. All right. Hey, was there a siren in the last segment?
I think we're pretty good this hour so far. Whatever the incident was, they've cleared it up.
Okay. Well, I guess the chalk outline has been drawn and they've moved on. We have six so far?
We have six in the last 90 minutes, which is still pretty high for you. Not you're in the same location. But
that's right.
Hopefully we stay at six, but I think we're going to hit at least 10 before the show is over.
And Randy, what's the running total for sirens that we've heard so far as we sit on the roof of this building across from the U.S. Capitol in Washington?
I'm really surprised. We are at six so far for the past 96 minutes. I expect that number to go up, but we haven't had a new one in about 55 minutes.
Well, because we haven't heard a siren in 55 minutes, I am now of the belief that the council here in D.C. decided to defund the police, and that's why we're not hearing from them.
Well, then you'd be hearing gunshots.
Yeah, the gunshots start as soon as the sun goes down, I think. We're done at 6 o'clock here local time, so hopefully we'll be gone before that happens. All right. It is a pleasure to welcome our next guest to the program. He is the director of the Center for Terrorism Law at St. Mary's University. He's also in charge of the Warrior Defense Project, Jeffrey Atticott. Welcome.
My pleasure.
Before we get to all of the current subjects on the front page of the paper that we're reading about, tell me a little bit about the Warrior Defense Project.
Yes, there are about 200 law schools that are ABA accredited in the United States. We're the only law school that has a center that's dedicated to providing free legal services to military personnel that have been wrongfully accused of misconduct or grossly punished. And we do it pro bono, which means we don't charge. So we've done about 100 cases over the last decade. And students get a lot out of it. They get real-world experience. And, of course, I'm the director and the founder, so that's what we do.
How big of a problem are out-of-control prosecutors in that arena right now?
Well, it's just like anything else when you got humans involved. The military system works very well about 90-95% of the time, but it's that perfect storm where soldiers are, for example, I've done soldiers charged with murder for killing the enemy in combat in Afghanistan. I've done cases where soldiers have been relieved because they violated the rules of engagement for shooting a tractor. I've done, you know, everything you could think of. And so it's, you know, again, I'm not being in the system military myself for 20 years. It does work. But again, when you got human beings involved, there's always that element of injustice. And that's what we try to rectify when we can.
In Los Angeles, we have a district attorney who was largely funded by George Soros, who took over that office, George Gascon. And he has publicly, repeatedly talked about his lust to prosecute police officers and to go after law enforcement, much more so than criminals. That woke sort of mentality is driving all of his decision-making, and it's an ideology that's extreme, but it's one that he is implementing in that office as he destroys it from within. We've seen certain woke policies come from the military in recent years. It's certainly accelerated since Joe Biden has been elected president. Are you seeing that wokeism working its way into the prosecutors' offices
this whole
arena?
Concept, I call it rot, is infecting our entire society. I remember, you know, in the 1960s, we had the counterculture. And these are the individuals that were against the system at that time. And basically, they, you know, wanted to smoke dope and have free love and, you know, not get a job. And that mentality basically has taken over the culture today. So I identify myself now as a member of the counterculture today, because I, you know, go back to the things that made us a strong and vibrant country. And we're seeing all those pillars of establishment attacked today from A to Z, police, military, capitalism. And a country cannot long survive without these pillars.
Let's talk a little bit about terrorism and as it relates to immigration. You are director of the Center for Terrorism at St. Mary's University. One of the things that you have to do when you let someone into your country is you have to check them out and make sure they're not going to show up and do harm when they get there. I think that There is a consensus among most people that doing something like that is a good idea. If you don't do it correctly, you end up with people like some of the 9/11 hijackers. You end up with the Tsarnaev brothers. You end up with people who come here to do harm to your population. Right now in Afghanistan, we saw a really horrible withdrawal that cost, you know, lives of American service members. It caused that government to collapse. It's caused any number of refugees to look for countries to take them in. The process, I would imagine, of vetting a refugee, of vetting an immigrant, of going through and turning over every stone and making sure that they're not a terrorist, making sure they're not there to do you harm, I'm sure is not working like a Swiss clock when you have to accelerate it because of a crisis. How concerned are you as we start to take in more of these refugees without doing a complete and thorough background check to make sure that they don't have extremist ties, particularly in a country that has a problem with that, like Afghanistan, that we could be inviting in more Tsarnaev brothers?
Well, that's true. And when you define extremism, I mean, you know, it's a touchy word, but there are many extremists that will not use violence, but their ideas are foreign to our way of life. For example, the International Court of Human Rights, which is the number one international court in the world, has said that human rights is incompatible with Sharia law. Sharia law rejects our Bill of Rights. Why in the world would you let someone come into your country that hates the very foundations that made this country? Now, they may not engage in terror, but they're not going to be, you know, advocates for these concepts like freedom of speech, freedom of religion, freedom of press, and therefore, you know, they don't have a right to come into this country. The Biden administration has opened the doors to a lot of Afghans. A lot of them were not even on the list, you know, that weren't special visas. They just got on the plane. So they need to all be vetted. And, you know, that's one part of the issue. The other part, of course, is our wide open southern border where hundreds of thousands of people are streaming into the country. We don't know who they are. They're not going to report. It's an absolute disaster. And in terms of terrorism, you know, it's more probable now than it has been in 20 years that a radical Islamic extremist will come across the southern border and strike the homeland in a way that will make 9/11 look like a Boy Scout outing.
One of the things I've learned about extremists is that they're not particularly shy about being extreme. They're perfectly happy to tell you what they think, and they're not discreet about it. And given the fact that it's 2021, many of them put up these beliefs on social media. We've certainly seen Silicon Valley jump when the government asked them to jump when they're going after people on the right. But when you're talking about people who are coming here from other countries as refugees or as immigrants of any number of categories, when we're investigating to try to determine whether or not they're extremists, does Silicon Valley help in that process or do they not?
Well, it's the responsibility of the federal government. I don't know, you know, obviously it's the Biden administration's responsibility through their agencies to do this job. But as we all know, the Biden administration has the enforcement handle on this, and they're not enforcing the law on the books. They're not doing their job. I think that's clear to everyone in terms of opening up the doors to this country and then investigating those people that come in. And it's just a matter, as I said, probability. The probability is higher that someone will come into this country and engage in an act of terror, you know, small scale or large scale. But my big concern is the large scale attacks that might come across the southern border, and they're not going to come in, you know, present themselves to be matriculated through our quote unquote broken immigration system. They're just going to come across through a drug smuggling route and do us great harm.
Yeah, and that's something that we really have been able to avoid, fortunately, since 9/11, where we haven't had a large-scale attack. After 9/11, you go back and you think about what people were saying and thinking, and we just assumed that attacks like that would be just a regular fact of life, like we've seen in Israel and other parts of the globe. And fortunately, we've been able to dodge that bullet.
Yep.
But luck will only take you so far if you're doing reckless things.
They're going to reconstitute, as General Milley indicated in the testimony today. I'm not a fan of General Milley. I think he should resign. But he did say something that was profoundly correct, and that is that Afghanistan is a terror state, and they will reconstitute, and it's going to be a threat. So the biggest threat to this country is not, you know, right-wing extremists. As we look out across the Capitol, you'll see Fort Pelosi here, building walls around the Capitol protecting against Trump supporters. And, of course, they try to equate them with right-wing extremists, which is ridiculous. This is magical thinking. The real threat remains, it always has been, radical Islamic extremists.
You were watching the hearings. You referenced them, General Milley and others, testifying, contradicting much of what President Biden told George Stephanopoulos of ABC News when he said that no one told him that the government in Afghanistan would fall if we removed the troops in the way that he did. They said that wasn't true and left the president hanging. Jen Psaki's trying to clean up that mess. If what happened with their decision-making in Afghanistan happens again in the future, or if the rest of the world looks at what happened in Afghanistan and said, you know what, everything we want is ripe for the pickings right now because the Americans can't function right now, then that means you could have Russia taking over the Ukraine, you could have North Korea taking over South Korea, you could have China taking over Taiwan, and you could have literally millions of people trying to flee their countries all at the same time. If we're overwhelmed now, if something like that were to happen, can you imagine what the future would look like?
Yes, I can. There's blood in the water right now, and it's our blood. Our enemies know that this administration is probably not qualified to run the shoe department at Penny's, let alone the country. And they're energized by it. I don't expect the president and his people to be correct all the time, but you would think at least one time could you be correct out of 100 things? I can't think of any successes that they have done to make us a safer country or a more vibrant country in terms of our energy independence. We could just go down the list. And it's like, you know, it's we had a commercial. It used to be, you know, sham wow. If you remember, this is like sham wow. It's beyond wow. So, yes, I'm flabbergasted, and I'm not easily flabbergasted at the incompetence. As Milley again said, it was a strategic disaster. That's his words, not my words. And I agree with that assessment. And it's a disaster that's going to, you know, vibrate and reverberate for at least 3 more years, I'm afraid. We're not seeing many good decisions come out in terms of national security or just domestic security or domestic policy or international policy.
Neither one of us were in the room when that decision was made regarding Afghanistan. Milley says one thing, Biden says another. Which one do you think is lying?
Well, I think being in the military, I don't know any military soldier worth their salt that would say, yes, we must unilaterally get out with no conditions, leave all of our military equipment there, leave U.S. citizens there, and oh, by the way, we're going to give up our strong points, Bagram Air Force Base, and retreat back to a one runway airport in Kabul. There's no military officer that would make that type of recommendation. That's exactly what we did. So if they didn't do it, it obviously came from the commander-in-chief, and they're just following orders.
Do you think it could get worse?
Oh, yeah. Like I said, there's blood in the water. We know that our enemies are emboldened, and our adversaries or our competitors are also emboldened. Deterrence is not going to work for us anymore. Deterrence is when our enemies fear us. They don't respect or fear us right now, in my opinion.
What's the next hot spot that you think is in danger of blowing up?
I'd say our southern border. And then I'm serious. I think a weapon of mass destruction could very well go across the southern border or a low-level terror attack of some sort. Taiwan, of course, is an issue. The Chinese see it now as an opportunity to move forward. But the biggest one right now in the immediate future is Iran. Iran will have a nuclear weapon within a year. They know the Biden administration will not stop them, and they're not interested in negotiating. They're moving full speed ahead, and that's a story that's not being reported.
Really? And who do you think they would use it on? Do you think they would use it recklessly against one of our allies in that region? Do you think they'd send it over here?
They don't have to use it immediately. All they have to have is habit. because then the cost of stopping them as they move forward with their plans to expand goes up exponentially. The time to stop a terrorist state that wants nuclear weapons is before they get them, not after.
Jeffrey Atticott, director of the Center for Terrorism Law at St. Mary's University. That's in San Antonio, correct?
That's correct.
All right. Thank you so much for stopping by. If people want to get you or the Warrior Defense Project online, how can they do that?
Just Google. They haven't cut me off Google yet.
Give it time. It's 1:50 on the John Phillips Show. Thank you so much. We appreciate it. It's actually quite lovely here today, Randy. It's nice and warm. The cool fall weather hasn't rolled in to the nation's capital yet. And I brought a hoodie with me, and I have the short sleeves going still.
So they schedule this thing right in between humidity season and snow season.
That's right. There's a 2-week window of good weather. Now, here's a question. We talked to Diamond and Silk earlier this hour, who were at the same hotel bar as me. Actually, no, they said they were still in their room. They didn't leave their room. I was at the bar, of course. And apparently, Flip-Flop Fauci was there, too. And how I wish Diamond and Silk had encountered Flip-Flop Fauci in that bar. But here's another question, Randy. He lives here, right? He lives in Maryland.
Yeah, I got to imagine. I mean, when you work for the federal government, you got to live in Maryland or Virginia.
Okay. Then what's he doing at a hotel bar? Allegedly.
Does Anthony Fauci have a Tinder account?
We need to get the National Enquirer on this one.
Wait, is he attending the Federation for American Immigration Reform Conference?
Well, let's find out. Let's look at the booking sheet. And
yeah, is he on your radio row schedule for tomorrow?
Yeah. Well, he is an expert on how to get viruses. Well, never mind.
Talk about a virus immigrating from a bat.
From a lab. All right. We'll get back to immigration here in a second. But one of the subjects that has plagued the state of California for so many years are fires. We have PG&E starting fires right and left. We have lightning strikes and other natural occurring events that start fires. We also have arsonists. And Randy, sometimes those arsonists are totally insane.
Apparently, there was a woman in Shasta County who was on the beginning of a journey to hike to Canada, and she got a little parched. And instead of, going to find some water, she tried a less conventional way to get something drinkable to quench her thirst, and it started a massive wildfire. Would you like to hear the story?
Lay it on me.
Now to Shasta County, where firefighters are gaining ground on the Fawn Fire burning near Redding. Crews say lighter winds and cooler weather are helping them increase containment to 50%. Fox News' William LaJeunesse tells us a Palo Alto woman is under arrest for allegedly setting that fire.
Authorities arrested a 30-year-old woman accusing her of sparking the Fawn Fire in Northern California. She is facing 9 years in prison after officials say she started the blaze while boiling bear urine to drink.
You know, that's a totally normal thing to do.
How did she get the bear to do it in a cup? Is this the John Cox bear?
You know, we don't really know what happened to Tag the Bear after the recall imploded. Maybe that's what happened. But somehow this woman acquired an amount of bear urine and set a campfire to heat that bear urine up to a boiling temperature to boil off all the things that you don't want in it, to drink it, which I assume she saw in one of those survival reality shows like Bear Grylls.
Oh, you can absolutely blame this fire on Bravo.
And there you go. Northern California ablaze once again because of this crazy woman, which is rare. You don't see a lot of female arsonists, but this wasn't like she was getting excited by the fire. She was just thirsty.
Just another day in Norman Rockwell's America. One more hour coming up on the John Phillips Show, broadcasting live from Washington, D.C. Don't go anywhere. 790 KABC.